The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
For those of you who don't know me, I'm Diana Clark. To wish you all a warm welcome. I teach happy hour here like every other week with Nikki Mercafori. It's such a wonderful thing. I love teaching this kind of leading happy hour. So those of you who have been here before know that sometimes we talk about how loving-kindness practice that we do in meditation, the kind of like formal meditation practice, bleeds over and we start to experiencing the benefits in our daily life, whether that's our explicit intention or not. We only have one mind, right? So what kind of gets cultivated in meditation often gets expressed outside of meditation. But of course, it works the other way too. That is, things that we're doing in our daily life can support our meditation practice, can support this cultivation of loving kindness. So, but this idea of practicing kindness or care or warmth or maybe it's respect, you know, you can choose whichever word is resonant for you, maybe different words on different occasions. But to practice, I'll use this word, simple kindness to others in our daily life, that is, outside of meditation, it doesn't require us to add lots of extra items to our to-do lists. We're probably all busy, have things to do. And it gets to this, we don't want to add the sense of burden, like, oh, yeah, okay, here's one more thing to do. It's kind of like the opposite direction of where we're going or where we want to go. But this idea of practicing kindness in daily life starts with just a matter of being present and noticing what's happening in our experience. Just being present with an open heart as best we can. Doesn't require us to manufacture or make anything happen. But sometimes just slowing down, maybe that's just mentally, maybe physically we're going at the same pace, but just to have some awareness, just to pay attention. Oh yeah, I'm in the grocery store shopping. I'm sitting in traffic. I'm in my office meeting with somebody. I'm in a meeting at work. I'm at home on the computer. Whatever it is. Just to set the intention to be present for that as best we can and with an open heart as best we can. If you already had a perfectly open heart, you wouldn't need to be doing loving kindness practice. You wouldn't need to be here listening to me. And so when we're truly present, the occasions for expressing care and the occasions for expressing kindness just present themselves. It starts to become a little bit more obvious. It's often when we're rushing through our lives, just kind of skimming on the top, that we don't notice some of the opportunities that are there that are just part of our daily experience. And when we do have some kindness or some care, rather than it being burdensome, okay, I checked that off the box of things to do, it actually adds some calmness or a little bit easier to be present. And not only for ourselves, for everybody around us who kind of is perhaps the recipient or sees that action or something like this. And of course, we don't have to limit our acts of kindness to those people who are our friends and family. People that we already like and know and deserve, quote-unquote, our kindness. It's human nature. I would say it's part of, you know, evolution, this idea of kind of, and I would say maybe just a common tendency. I don't know if it's human nature. Maybe I would say evolution kind of supports that we, we tend to view people who are similar to us and that we know and that we perhaps spend time with and have relationships, you know, to want to send kindness to them. And then everybody else becomes other in some way. And we end up kind of creating this us and them, the other people who aren't us, whoever they are. And we might think that the others, quote unquote, are fundamentally different from us. And so we may have some fear of people who are different. And these are completely, like, maybe unconscious in the back of our minds. We're not really thinking about it. But to soften our fears, we might find ourselves relating to some of these other people with antipathy, prejudice, or just indifference, not seeing them. But if we are paying attention to our life, to our experiences, we'll start to notice who we share this planet with, who we share our space with, who we encounter. And we might start to notice some of our common humanity while still also respecting the differences. Right? We're different, and yet we share a lot. So, that by paying attention and setting the intention to be attentive with an open heart, we can free ourselves from this impulse to rigidly categorize the world in terms of boundaries and limits, us and them. So in this way, paying attention, in whatever way you understand that, is a doorway to kindness. It's a doorway to compassion. Doorway to care and warmth, respect. Paying attention isn't automatic. It's right. It's sometimes easier just to skim through the surface of our lives and not really be present for it. So it does require some intention and requires a little bit of effort to remind ourselves to pay attention. Not a lot of effort, just a little bit. Just to remind ourselves of our intention, our wish, our desire to do that. And when we do that, we may discover that we have countless opportunities to practice acts of kindness. Maybe things as simple as holding the door open for somebody entering the building behind us, holding the elevator. Making friendly eye contact with the receptionist at the dentist's office. Making space for a car that wants to merge in. Returning the shopping cart to the front of the store. These are just small things. But when we do these small things, kind of creating the conditions for more and more kindness to be in our lives or express it. It feels good to do these small things. It feels good to do great things too. And whether you're doing these small acts of kindness or something more, a larger gesture, the encouragement is to feel it. What does it feel like to be kind? What does it feel like in your chest? What does it feel like in your belly? What does it feel like? What's the quality of your thoughts? Do your thoughts, not the content as much as the quality, do your thoughts feel a little bit more spacious, less compelling perhaps? Or, and also the content, maybe the content starts to lead towards other ideas. Like, oh, I felt good that I did that. Maybe I'll do something else. Or maybe you just quickly go right to the next thing to think about. So the more that we have these experiences of kindness, loving kindness, care, respect, warmth, and the more that we are attentive or actually feel them, like from the inside, feel them, not just think about them, but actually experience them in a complete way as best we can, the easier it becomes to have those experiences again. And importantly, this can be an incredible support and nourishment for our lives, for the difficulties that arise in life. That's part of the human condition also, to have difficulties. But we can use these times of when we're acting out of kindness as a way to have some fuel to get us through some of the rough spots. So in this way, the way that we are acting when we're off the cushion or in daily life can be a great support for kindness in general and loving kindness meditation in particular. So tonight we'll do some loving kindness meditation. Many of you know that the way that I've been teaching it, there are three elements to loving kindness meditation. You may find that one of these elements speaks to you, is easier, seems like the best, that you can relate to the best. That's perfectly fine. You don't have to do all three. You don't have to struggle to do the ones that don't seem quite as relevant or resonant. I encourage some creativity, some experimentation to make this practice your own. I'll be up here leading us. Some people find it beneficial to be following what I'm doing, but you're also welcome to experiment. See how it feels to make some changes. So the first element is to bring to mind, and we're going to start with somebody or some being for whom it's easy to feel kindness, love, care, respect, warmth. This often is a person that you don't know well or don't have a complicated relationship with. It seems like, right, those people we know really well, they have complicated relationships. Complicated in terms of, yes, we love them, but yeah, there was that time they did that thing that was irritating. So often people use people that like spiritual leaders or somebody they might know in the media who inspires them. And if nobody comes to mind, you're welcome to use other beings, kittens, babies, puppies. Beings that have like a smile inside in some way. So we'll start there, and then we'll move to loving kindness for ourselves. Turns out that so many of us have been socialized and think that to be self-critical is the way to success. Self-critical is the way to happiness, but it turns out that doesn't work quite so well. If it worked well, you would all be happy right now, probably, right? We so often use this as a strategy. So we'll be doing some loving kindness for ourselves. And then we'll be doing some equanimity practice with somebody who's just mildly irritating, mildly annoying. We're not going to be working with the most difficult person, but just somebody who's mildly. I'll ask you to bring that person to mind. So the first element is to bring somebody to mind. I'll guide us through this. The second element is to use these bodily sensations as a support, to feel into them, to tap into them, to explore them, to experience them. There's a real connection between the body and the mind, and we can use bodily sensations to support these practices that we're doing. So I'll be encouraging us to kind of like dip into the bodily sensation. But that being said, there's no guarantee that you're going to have some bodily sensations that are going with loving kindness practice. That's perfectly fine. Maybe they're there, maybe they aren't. We don't have to try to force things. We don't have to manufacture them. We don't have to make them. It's perfectly fine, whatever is happening. And then the third element will be to be repeating phrases. We'll use the phrases as an anchor, as a way to support our intention to be developing loving kindness. And we use the anchor as a way that when our minds start wandering, we come back to just remind our intention. So the phrases are a way in which we can, or hopefully helping to create the conditions to support the growing of loving kindness. But again, there's no guarantees. We're just creating the conditions. Maybe loving kindness arises. Maybe it doesn't. It's perfectly fine. You might find that maybe you don't have any loving kindness experiences during the meditation. Maybe it shows up tonight on the drive home. Maybe it shows up tomorrow morning. Maybe it shows up right before, as you're brushing your teeth, you find yourself thinking of nicer thoughts this evening. Okay, so with that as an introduction, let's take an alert, upright posture. And we'll start with three long, slow, deep breaths. We use these breaths as a way to connect with the body. Sometimes it's easier when the movements are exaggerated. And sometimes with exaggerated breaths, with the exhale, there can be a little bit of relaxation or letting go. Especially with loving kindness meditation, it can be helpful and supportive to feel a certain degree of comfort. We don't have to be completely 100% comfortable, but you don't want discomfort to be your dominant experience. So in this way, you're welcome to shift your posture in a calm, gentle way if you need to. And if you need to get some cushions or something to modify how you're sitting now, you're welcome to do that. And we'll just check in with different parts of the body to see if there's some tension that can be readily let go of. So often we hold tension unknowingly around our eyes, our jaw. Just bring a gentle inquiry to these areas. Sometimes the shoulders get raised up. Can you allow the shoulder blades to slide down the back? Check in with the upper back, the lower back. We're not trying to force some relaxation, but just sometimes bringing our awareness allows some tension that we didn't know was there to soften. The chest, the belly. Feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body, feeling supported, grounded. You're here. You can check in with the right leg, the left leg, and the feet, again, feeling grounded. The right arm and the right hand. The left arm and the left hand. Then we'll start with a little bit of mindfulness of breathing. So you can rest your awareness on the sensations of breathing, that is, the movement of the abdomen, the movement of the chest, or the feeling of the air going in and out of the nose. Whichever location is the most vivid, the most accessible, the most supportive. All we're doing is just resting our intention on the sensations of breathing. While this practice might be simple, turns out it's perhaps not so easy. If you find yourself lost in thought, it doesn't have to be a problem. Simply, gently, bring your attention back to the sensations of breathing. If you've somehow forgotten that you're meditating, just very simply begin again. What does it feel like from the inside? Like, what are the sensations associated with breathing? We're not thinking about breathing, we're sensing breathing. And in a moment, we'll start our loving kindness practice. But this practice, mindfulness of the sensations of breathing, can be a support, can be a refuge. You can always come back to this practice. If emotions arise that feel overwhelming, or you get lost or confused or not sure what to do, you can always come back to this mindfulness of breathing. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being. Visualize them. The visualization doesn't need to be, you know, high definition, crystal clear. Just a sense of this person for whom it's really easy for you to feel kindness, gratitude, perhaps love, warmth, care. You might check in with the sensations in the body. Is there a little, maybe a soft, small opening or softness or warmth, in any way you understand that. You might feel it maybe in your chest, maybe in your belly, or maybe you don't feel it at all. It's perfectly fine. And then to support our intention to be cultivating loving kindness, you can repeat the phrases after me silently in your mind while keeping the lovable being in mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Again, you might want to refresh the image of the lovable being. Check in with the body. And if there are a sense of an inner smile, some warmth, well-being, openness, spaciousness, even if it's just a small portion of your experience, not the dominant experience, you can allow that to get as big as it would like without forcing, making, manufacturing anything. We're just simply allowing, making space. Then coming back to the phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You're welcome to make these phrases your own. Are there other words that would be more resonant, more meaningful, more impactful? I'll be silent here for a bit. You can use your own words, your own pace. Now we'll build on this foundation, loving kindness for a lovable being, and extend loving kindness to ourselves. Sometimes this is difficult, but of course we deserve loving kindness. Be a part of taking care of ourselves, respecting ourselves. So in the same way, you can bring a sense of yourself to mind. That might be an image, how you are now. Some people like to do the image of when they were younger, or even as children or toddlers even. Or it can be a sense of, how does it feel to sit here this moment? Whichever feels the most accessible, an image or a felt sensation. You can check in with your body and see if there's been any shift now that I've suggested that you do loving kindness for yourself. Does it feel different? It's okay. Whatever is there is perfectly fine. And then we'll just slightly modify the phrases, change the pronoun. May I be safe. May May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. I'll be silent for a bit. And part of one way of taking care of ourselves, loving ourselves, respecting ourselves, is to also cultivate some equanimity, some balance with others that we may encounter, that we're in relationship with, or that we know about. We can do this with cultivating, by using some equanimity phrases. So to practice with this, you can bring to mind somebody who's only mildly annoying, mildly irritating. We are not working with the most difficult, the most troubling, just mildly. And bring this person to mind. And we're going to extend this feeling of loving kindness to them in a way that cultivates equanimity. So we can say this phrase: I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. And then to end this meditation, feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So earlier I was talking about the actions that we do in daily life really can affect us, but also they can help us learn about what does it feel like to be cultivating loving kindness? What does it feel like to cultivate warmth and care? Like, what are the sensations? It turns out that our bodily sensations can be a tremendous support for us. Even though we often are discounting them or we're thinking that we have to be in our heads and figure everything out and think our way through all our problems and all that. Sure, we absolutely need to think. We need to solve problems. But I don't want us to be dismissive or to underestimate the power and the strength that can come from being grounded in our felt experience. And allowing what's there to be there. No guarantees will always be pleasant, of course, right? But it's the truth of the moment. And one advantage, of course, of being with our felt experience, the physical bodily sensations, is that they are always occurring in the present moment, right? It's only our minds that are thinking about the past or the future or that spinning stories. How could that person have done that? I can't believe it. And the next time I see them, I gotta do this. And then off we go. Our bodies are a way to kind of like slow down and be present for our experience and to feel things. And when we do things of kindness, to feel that, it can be a big support for us. Makes it easier to kind of have access to that, have access to those feelings of warmth, spaciousness, care, however it shows up. Maybe there's a little, tiny little corner of well-being. We can pay attention to this. Just because it's small doesn't mean that it's insignificant. Sometimes subtle is really important. So even though our dominant experience may be we're feeling a little bit harried or whatever it might be, let's not dismiss those other, maybe quieter, softer experiences. Cultivate them. Allow them to be there. So now I'd like to open up to any questions or comments about this, the meditation. I started us off with some deep breaths, then we did a body scan, then we did mindfulness of breathing, loving kindness for lovable being, loving kindness for ourselves, and a little bit of equanimity. We were kind of busy. But it didn't feel busy to me. Maybe it did for some of you. Yes, there's a microphone. Can this microphone migrate up to the, like pass it hand to hand, maybe, and we can make it up to onto the stage. Thank you. And you'll have to turn it on too. We don't have a manager tonight, but I trust you guys can manage. Thank you.
Thank you. Is that working?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's always so much easier here than it is in the world. But one of the things I've been struggling with, and I was thinking about in tonight's meditation, is that sometimes it's really easy to fall into the belief that by not practicing loving kindness to someone who is difficult, keeps me protected from being harmed by this person. And I struggle with the balance of loving kindness, compassion, forgiveness, and healthy boundaries, because it feels as though by sending loving kindness, it sort of reduces my defenses and opens the door for something that may not be safe, that my vulnerability puts me in a position that may not be safe. So I'm curious to know what your thoughts on that are.
No, I think this is a legitimate concern, right? It's like, I don't want to send this person loving kindness because, what if I have this open, spacious heart and they step right in there and kick me or something like this? So also, I have a few things to say. So one is, here we're just doing for the lovable being and for the self, because classically the teachings are, and I myself have found this, we often don't send loving kindness until we very thoroughly have this for a lovable being, for ourselves, for a neutral person, maybe some family members, where we have maybe a little mixture of emotions. It's only after spending maybe years developing that do we do it for a difficult person, right? To be really grounded that this loving kindness is just, we're just steeped in it and that we have lots of experience with it before we do this, because it is not easy to do that, right? Because we do have these, like, why would I, it just doesn't feel safe to do that. So that being said, sometimes when we're having a lot of ill will, aversion, antipathy towards somebody else, sometimes there may be this thing, this idea I should send them loving kindness. I notice how much ill will I have, or I'm noticing that I'm filled with anger or something. It's true that loving kindness can be an antidote to those in those situations, but my suggestion is to do loving kindness where it's easiest. So that is, bring to mind puppies and babies, or, the kitten videos you've seen, or like whatever it is, to kind of like open the heart and relax and soften a little bit. It's a tall order to ask us to do some loving kindness for a difficult person. So maybe that's one thing that I'll say. The second thing that I can say is, I think you should honor your wish to have the intention to send loving kindness to a difficult person. Maybe you're not there yet. That's perfectly fine. But you have this idea that you want to send it, and that's where you are. Honor that. Respect that. You have this inclination. I want to go this direction. I'm not there yet, but I want to go there. So respect that and kind of take care of that. The third is just, maybe this is kind of like a logical thing rather than a felt loving kindness thing, is that if people that are, we find to be difficult, if they had more and more and more happiness, chances are they wouldn't be so difficult. So it's just that is a thought experiment, just to recognize, okay, I don't feel like I'm ready to send them loving kindness, but just to recognize to somehow any ill will that may be going their way or isn't going to help them be less difficult for us. They're not inherently difficult, they're just difficult with us, just like sometimes we're, all of us are difficult to some people and some people are difficult for us, so... Maybe those are three things to think about. Is that helpful? Yeah. Anybody else have a question or a comment? Okay. There doesn't have too many comments or questions. You're welcome to come up to me afterwards and talk to me here. And then I would just like to close by dedicating the merit. This is kind of like a classical practice. We can understand it as the goodness, any goodness that has been generated with our practicing together. I'd like to dedicate it to Sharon Salzberg. I've been greatly inspired by her. She's somebody who's brought these loving kindness teachings to America from Asia. She taught them, she learned them there and brought them here. Her books have been really seminal in this practice in the United States and the West. And it was just announced last week that she's having a health issue and has canceled all her teachings for the next few months. That's all the details that I know. I don't know anything else. But I'd just like to dedicate any goodness or any well-being that we've all cultivated today to her. Send it to her to help support her. Okay. Thank you.